Welcome back to Irish Illustrated Insider Recruiting Extra. I'm Pete Sampson, joined in the Pacific Northwest by Kevin Sinclair, where there was a little bit of news from Notre Dame recruiting yesterday. So let's jump into that. Usually we save commitments and decommitments. It's the day after our regular podcast with Tim and Tim, but we've got plenty to cover in the breaking news department. Braden Lindsey out, George Takacs in. I guess, Kevin, what are your thoughts on, let's start with Lindsey, because that was, I think, a bit of a surprise, although checking with sources around Notre Dame, they told me that they were worried about this one from the get-go, but there was very little heads up from the kid himself in terms of the decommitment.
Yeah, it was quite a day yesterday, no doubt. I was certainly surprised with the Braden Lindsey decommitment. However, sort of in the past, sort of combing through the commits and having a look at, you know, who could possibly decommit. Braden Lindsey being so, I guess prominent in the track world, and the fact that Oregon has sort of one of the, I guess, most highly regarded track programs in the country. He lives in Oregon, obviously has lots of connections there. He went to the spring game. It was always sort of in the back of my mind that that could happen. But I've spoken with Braden a lot through his recruitment before he committed, after. And it just really seemed like he was very solid. And then another sort of thing was I interviewed his head coach recently, and he went thoroughly through, several reasons why Braden committed to Notre Dame, why he liked Notre Dame, why Braden and the coach I was speaking with thought of Notre Dame such an obvious, clear fit for him, what he liked during his visit. Like, I just had just written this article, and you and I were going to post it yesterday, and literally right around the time that he decommitted. So that was all interesting. That conversation with the head coach kind of sold me that he was as solid as he could be, but it turns out he wasn't. And, that losing that sort of big play, elite speed receiver is going to sting. I had a good look at the board, and we got a good, wide receiver board review out this morning. He does run a sub 4.4 40, and that's the speed Notre Dame's looking for. So this one's going to sting, and they're going to have a good look at their board.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you had a good update on Amon-Ra St. Brown this morning, and then the receiver overview in general. It certainly makes Kevin Austin even more important than he already was. I mean, I was sort of looking at Austin as, okay, you get him on board to pair him with Lindsey and Micah Jones. I think you've got three different styles of receivers at a need position. And looking over the decommitments from earlier in the Brian Kelly era, this would certainly be top half. It's certainly not the most painful at the same time. They suffered worse, is probably the best way to say it. But they lose their 12th commitment. They pick up a new 12th commitment later that night. George Takacs, the four-star tight end out of Florida. Kevin, you talked to him last night. Interestingly enough, he's Notre Dame's third 12th different player who has been the 12th commitment in this class. And he'll be the one tight end. I think we've sort of gone back and forth on this podcast, on the website, on the message board about whether Notre Dame needed to take a tight end in this class at all. Ultimately, they decide yes. So Takacs follows Brock Wright and Cole Kmet last year. And like Brock Wright, he'll be an early enrollee, which is critical, even though Notre Dame will have some depth, because I think you look at the depth chart next year, it would not be a shock if it was down to Wisher, Wright, Kmet, and Takacs. If certainly Smythe is gone, Luatua retired, and Isaiah Mack could turn pro early. So, hey, Kevin, you've sort of gotten to know Takacs' head coach a little bit. He's given you some pretty good insight over the last couple of months on what kind of player Takacs is.
Takacs sort of went a bit silent, I guess you could say, in terms of speaking with the media. Probably about 2 months ago. And so in that time, obviously still want to get coverage on him, see what was, the status of recruitment was. So I started getting in touch with his head coach down at Gulf Coast High School, Familia. We've had several discussions about George. So when the commitment happened yesterday, I was sort of just used to getting in touch with his coach to get info. So I called him. He informed me that, George just felt at home at Notre Dame in the visit. He was just so, felt he didn't need any need to look further, cancel his visits. And I guess Tuesday morning, he informed the staff that he was going to commit. You know, I was still jumbling through the sort of aftermath of Braden Lindsay's decommitment. I had just spoken to Amon Ross St. Brown to get a read on that, working on all the wide receiver stuff, and then George commits. So I had to sort of flip over to that, and that was a whole interesting situation. After I spoke with his coach, who also informed me that George was planning to enroll early, I decided to try George, thinking maybe he would be taking calls at this point. He was. He answered the phone. He was at his grandparents' place in Indiana, near South Bend. And he just sort of, you know, further explained what his coach basically told me. You know, he visited Notre Dame on Sunday night. He, you know, arrived in South Bend. He left Tuesday morning. During that time, he spent a bunch of time with commits of Phil Jurkovic, Derek Allen, the twins, Marquis Stepp. You know, I also looked Shane Simon and some of the other top recruits who were on campus who stayed after Irish Invasion. And he just really bonded with all of them. And then he went and watched OTAs. And he said he's got a really good feel for what it would be like to be a student at Notre Dame. He grew. He said that due to his mother's career, that he's moved 11 times through his life. So I guess he only did live in Indiana for a short period of time when he was young. But he was born there and grew up a Notre Dame fan in the Notre Dame household. His mother went to graduate school at Notre Dame. He just had a connection from the get-go. It was one of those things we were always pretty confident about, but weren't sure until he made his commitment, which he did finally. And obviously that took a lot of sting out of, you know, losing Lindsay's commitment earlier in the day. And, he followed about that. We sort of joked about that, you know, sort of it being a seesaw day of emotions at Notre Dame. And, you know, he said he's really looking forward to, enrolling early and getting right into that, the thick of it. They see the field as a true freshman, you know, 6'7", 242 is his current weight. The kid who works very, very hard, as Coach said, he's very, very, very conscientious about his body. He weighs his food. This is a kid who works very hard, intelligent kid, and I expect pretty big things out of him. I just feel very confident about how he'll do at college level, given his work ethic and his just physical attributes and just kind of, you know, natural athletic ability.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all develops. It was interesting also on Twitter, somebody had mentioned, tweeted at Jeremy Ruckert, who's the four-star tight end out of New York, that Notre Dame filled up his tight end allotment, and he replied that he was still considering Notre Dame, which it's fine to say, but Notre Dame is not going to take a second tight end in this class. And when you get Komet, Takis, Wright as your three tight ends over 2 years, I mean, somebody ultimately is going to end up as the third tight end from that group. I think there's a good chance it's going to be Takis, but if he's 6'7" and he grows to 250 and sort of gives you a traditional tight end who can line up and just slam people, but also is at least a red zone threat. Man, I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches for Chip Long. And another thing with Takis, we're going to see him out at the opening this summer, and he's going to be going against 4-star, 5-star safeties and linebackers, and maybe matching up with a corner here or there. It's, you know, you're going to get to see just how good this guy is. And it's kind of fun looking back at Irish Invasion last year. He was there, and he wasn't somebody that anybody really talked about coming out of. But here we are 12 months later, and you know, Notre Dame picks up a 4-star tight end with offers from, what, Georgia, LSU, Florida, where they were all involved, and fills a need and sort of gets that depth chart back to where it should be after, I think, a couple rough recruiting cycles. So, I mean, that's obviously the big news of yesterday, and let's jump into our five guys segment here as a way to cover Irish Invasion, because that's in the rearview mirror now, but there has been quite a bit of movement at a few positions with a few different prospects here. So, Kevin, why don't you lead off our five guys segment? Who's the most intriguing guy for you over the last week?
Yeah, for me, I would say Shane Simon. He's one of the most talked about recruits within, Notre Dame's recruiting class 2018, 6'3", 215, St. Peter's Prep in Jersey City, New Jersey. So he's, he's their guy at the Rover. They would love to add. He had a pretty cool visit to South Bend. Obviously, we saw on Twitter when he arrived, Jerome Bettis was in the airport. And, there was a picture of Shane Simon with the Twins meeting him. I spoke with Shane Simon after he arrives back in New Jersey. I caught him right when he was in the airport, actually. He said that was just a really cool thing to sort of experience. I not only did he tell me he had a really great time, but I spoke with both Phil Jurkovec and Derek Allen. I think it was on Monday, and both told me that they spent a lot of time with Shane, with all of the other commits. Some current players also spent time with Shane, and just they all bonded really well. A lot of Notre Dame commits and players, coaches, all got to spend a lot of time with Shane Simon. He has definitely seen all that, you would need to see and knows everything you would need to know about Notre Dame to go forward with his decision. Obviously it is slightly concerning that he didn't commit this weekend, or I guess, in the day or two following arriving back home from his weekend at Notre Dame. I've heard some whispers he may visit Michigan again, but there's nothing set in stone right now in terms of other visits. That will tell us more about what's going on. But, he's sticking to his guns. He wants to do sort of an end-of-summer commitment announcement, and that's what he's going to do. And, in the meantime, what we can really do is speculate, unless he starts to make some other visits and things like that. So it's definitely a wait and see, but I definitely feel very good about Notre Dame landing Simon in the end.
Yeah, I think it's a haze in the barn situation with Shane Simon. I don't think that they can push that recruitment any farther than they already have. Great at Irish Invasion. I'm going to go with the Irish Invasion attendee as well, Paul Moala, listed at 6'1", 190 on Scout out of Mishawaka, Indiana. Penn High School, alma mater, Braxton Cave, former Notre Dame center. He was, I think, if there was a surprise on Saturday night, it was Moala. And he ran a 4.4 hand-timed 40. That's the Notre Dame coaches sort of measuring that. And then, I think more importantly, when they did one-on-one drills and did position drills, he looked like a guy who could also play maybe at a 4.4 speed or at least play fast. It's interesting offer because they took Alohi Gilman just a day before, the Navy transfer, who's a similar build to Moala. And I think they would offer sort of a similar skill set in terms of more of a free safety, bigger coverage skills type. And they already have Derek Allen in the class too. So is Paul Moala really going to be your second safety? I think maybe if he doesn't commit before the season, Notre Dame can get another evaluation on him during the year. It was a little bit of a surprise offer to me for another reason, is that they would have been able to watch him last year and presumably see some of this speed and see some of this athleticism that he showed on Saturday night. So I'm curious about a little bit more about what happened on Saturday night that sort of got Moala over the hump as far as an offer goes. But Notre Dame has in the past shown a deference to local kids, if sort of a tie goes to the guy who's close by, because if you look at the Indiana recruits Notre Dame has signed over the years, they've hit at a really outstanding level on them. So maybe Paul Moala will be the next guy. So he's first of my five guys this week.
Yeah, I'm going to move on from the Irish Invasion with my five guys, and I'm going to talk about wide receiver Jordan Porter. He was offered by Notre Dame yesterday. I sort of squeaked in an interview with him amongst the madness yesterday. So he's from Etowah, California. He's 6'2", 180 pounds. His offers from Alabama, Arizona State, Cal, Colorado, Duke, Georgia, Notre Dame, UCLA, Utah, and Washington State. And actually, he has an older brother who's a cornerback at Washington State. He's a kid with he does really well in 3.4 GPA. He also does well in track. He ran a 10.6 100 meter. He's also listed at 30, posted 35-inch vertical jump. I had a look at his film, definitely sees some playmaking ability there. I spoke with him about a month ago, told me he had been hearing consistently from Delvon Alexander and Brian Polian, sort of a that sort of combination or tandem recruiting that we're seeing more of. He told me that he was definitely really interested in visiting Notre Dame, but it was a situation where he was, this was a month ago, that he was only going to be visiting schools that he had offers from, which is understandable. And now that he has the offer, he plans to visit Notre Dame in July. The only other visit he's sort of eyeing is Cal, but nothing's set at the moment. It definitely seemed like Notre Dame was his priority visit. We can consider this kid as a legitimate contender to end up being at Notre Dame, assuming he enjoys his visit and that. He listed off a number of things he really enjoys about Notre Dame. The obvious, things you hear often about the balance of academics and athletics. He really likes the fact they're on NBC every Saturday and all his friends and family can watch him. He likes the offense. So, yeah, that's my second guy.
DJ Johnson would be number two for me, another Irish Invasion guy, four-star cornerback out of Indianapolis, Indiana, North Central High School. I give the kid a lot of credit because he showed up with an ankle injury, showed up with a left ankle brace, worked out, ankle ended up giving out about two-thirds of the way through Irish Invasion. And I talked to DJ a little bit about that on Sunday after the event. He's like, look, I'm not going to come to these events and not work out. And now he faces another couple weeks off while he gets that ankle geared up for the preseason, which isn't that far away in the state of Indiana. So it's, I think you look at DJ Johnson, is he going to be your first corner in this class? Probably not. He's not going to be a like-for-like replacement for Kalen Gervin if they land him. Could it be your second or third corner behind maybe a Kyler Gordon? Yeah, I think so. He's a bigger body, broad-shouldered, very long legs, sort of an interesting build for a corner, but Notre Dame's in great shape there, if for no other reason that they are far and away the best offer. His other offers: Cincinnati, Duke, Iowa, Minnesota, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana, Syracuse, among Power 5 conference teams. So not a situation where I think Notre Dame is facing a whole lot of competition. Johnson told me that he doesn't have a big rush to commit. And I said, well, what if Notre Dame had two corners on board? Would that sort of change your timeline with the Irish because they're only taking three? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So I think Notre Dame's in great shape there. You don't have to read between lines too much to understand that. So DJ Johnson, I think he's a guy that ultimately will end up in Notre Dame's class and gave a pretty good account of himself on Saturday night, certainly from a toughness perspective. So he's number two for me.
Number three for me is another wide receiver they offered sort of in the wake of the Lindsey decommitment. Coey Smith, just Jordan Porter. I mean, he's very similar. He's the same size at 6'2", 180. Also from California. Comes from Gardena, Junipero Serra. Four-star recruit, number 16 wide receiver in California with scouts. Number 19 wide receiver in the West. Offers from Arizona, Nebraska, Oregon, Oregon State, USC, Washington State, Illinois, and San Jose State. I sort of had a look through the scout database with him, and scouts West recruiting team listed him in the top 10 offensive performers at the Oakland opening regional. I sort of played some phone tag with Smith yesterday. I caught him, but he was on his way home from football practice, and then we planned to talk this morning, but I had a podcast scheduled, so I will be catching him later this morning, hopefully, and get some more specifics on him. I do know that he was sort of a really sort of dynamic basketball player, and then sort of shifted his focus more towards football now, and he's been, I guess, thriving in his sort of new role as a predominantly football player rather than just a basketball star. I like his skill set, and we'll learn more about him soon. Obviously, Notre Dame will be pushing to get him on campus this summer.
Yeah, Jason Owa, number three. He was the star of Irish Invasion for me. I know it was a toss-up between Shane Simon and Owa between who was the most impressive guy. Owa for me, just because you don't see 6'5", 240, broad jumping, 72 feet like that very often. He was everything Notre Dame needs in a weak side defensive end. You look at the guys Notre Dame has signed over the last few years, they don't get this body type. and they almost never get this body type matched with that athleticism. So it's amazing to think that he's played 8 career games. Kevin, you wrote a story on this guy that I put under the radar in the headline, which was accurate in early May, and now he's sitting here with, you know, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Penn State coming after him really hard. I would not be surprised if his offer list expanded to include Stanford, Alabama, Michigan, schools of that nature. So I think Notre Dame's in good shape, not great shape with him. It's digging around on this one. How serious is he about Ohio State if academics are really number one, even more than football? But then how much is academics really going to carry the day? Will it carry it so much that he just says, you know, forget it, I'm going to Harvard. I don't need to play big-time college football because I want the biggest time education I can get. But Notre Dame is well aware that this is a guy that they need to get because he's high character, high academics, and really high talent. So if they can get this guy in the class, I think they would change really the outlook of Notre Dame recruiting in 2018. He was a 3-star prospect a month and a half ago. Now he's 4 stars and number 106 overall on scout.com. So that is another way to look at how fast he's risen up the board. So Jason Owen, number 3 for me this week.
Yeah, number 4 for me. As a recent 2019 offer, Jace Bowen, he's ranked as a 4-star defensive end with Scout. The interesting thing with him, you know, when I looked a little closer into him, his huddle film, he's listed as a free safety wide receiver. And if you watch his film, a lot of his, you know, sort of highlights are from this position where he sort of plays between the linebackers and the back end safeties of the defense. And I noticed with some other services, he's listed as an outside linebacker. So I got him on the phone. We had a discussion about that. And they play an interesting defense where they have sort of a 3-3 stack. And he plays this role they call the Hawk, and it's pretty much a rover in that formation and that base defense. And he said he lines up about 7 yards off the ball, and this kid makes huge plays. He's out of a sort of rural area in Ohio called Lexington. He's 6'5", 225 at this point, so I think obviously, you know, a 2019 recruit that size already, I think that's why Scout has him listed as a defensive end, sort of assuming he'll probably grow into that. And it sounds like Notre Dame also thinks that, as he told me that Notre Dame is recruiting him for the drop end position. And if you watch his film, you'll definitely see why. He's big physical kid. He can definitely engage people with force. He uses his hands well, shed blocks. And he just attended the Ohio State camp this week where he ran a 4.6940. So it's a big kid who's moving fast. His dad played at Bowling Green. His other family members have played college football. He's really excited about the Notre Dame offer. He visited for the Stanford game last year. He really enjoyed that. He's going to visit again. He said definitely going to visit this summer. He's just definitely a really just cool blue collar kid. I think he's either sent zero or just one tweet in his life.
What, unheard of.
I know. I said that he's a real unicorn in that way. It was just interesting. I talked to him about that. He just doesn't buy into that sort of stuff. Social media. He's a real, you know, blue collar, rural area type kid. Notre Dame will definitely be on this kid quite a bit. His skill set is great.
Next up for me, Thomas Booker. I think he's been on every 5 guys that we've done, but picking up the offer from Stanford, I think it was the day after our last podcast or maybe the day of, is very significant in this recruitment because I think both of our perspectives on this has been Notre Dame was almost in the clear here as long as Stanford doesn't offer with a June 24th return visit to South Bend on the books. Lo and behold, Stanford offers. So talking to people around Notre Dame, they are still optimistic, probably more optimistic than message board posters are, that they can hold off the Cardinal here, even though Stanford has been really the biggest threat for the Irish from the get-go here. You know, in terms of where Booker fits in, is he a strong side defensive end? Is he going to be an athletic 3 technique? I think he could do a little bit of both of those things. a guy Notre Dame needs to have in the class. That much has not changed. But if you can, after watching Jason Owe on Saturday night, then you sort of get the sense of like, oh, that's the skill set Notre Dame really, really needs, whereas Booker is just a really needs. And with Jason Adamalola in the class, Justin Adamalola in the class, I think Booker would be doubling up at one of those two positions in terms of his skill set. So we'll see how this shakes out. I think Notre Dame will have an answer by the end of the month on him. But Notre Dame was hopeful that June 24th was going to come around and he was going to commit to the Irish. The Stanford offer maybe muddies those waters a little bit, but curious to see how all this shakes out, because Stanford and Booker has been, I think, sort of a under-the-radar storyline, or sort of on the back burner a little bit from the time this recruitment started. So he's number four for me this week with that June 24th visit around the corner.
Yeah, my last guy is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Everyone knows about him. Five-star wide receiver out of Santa Ana, California. Matter Day, one of the premier programs in the country. 6 foot, 190 pounds, rated the number one wide receiver in the country, number 11 recruit overall in the scout database. This is another recruit I'm bringing up in light of Braden Lindsay's decommitment. Like I said, once we got that news, I decided to really have a strong look at the wide receiver board, and I thought it was time to give St. Brown a call and sort of see where things are at with his recruitment at the moment. The thing that's always interesting with me about Amon-Ra is he's such a flashy player from such a flashy program from a, flashy area of the country in Orange County, California, but he's just such a sort of humble, humble kid. He's just sort of easy to talk to. He's honest. He doesn't get too excited about, things. He doesn't take his recruitment super seriously. You wouldn't know the difference between a two-star recruit or a five-star recruit when you speak with him, honestly. That's always sort of refreshing. With him and his recruitment at the moment, things hadn't changed greatly, but I did find out that he has planned, not specific dates, but he plans to take two official visits. He may add more, but those visits are Stanford and Notre Dame. So sort of going forward with that, he said that, I guess, early in his season at Matter Day, they have some really tough matchups. So he thinks, probably September won't be when he visits. It'll probably be in October or November. Game day visit for him, but he will visit Notre Dame. He will visit Stanford, and he thinks he may add more. The other schools pushing for him, sort of in the equation for him, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, and UCLA to go along with Notre Dame and Stanford. He may visit some in-state schools during the summer. He said financially that's all he can sort of work out at this time. So you may see him visiting Stanford, USC, or UCLA, or all of them. We'll see what happens with that. Obviously, with Lindsay no longer part of this class, adding dynamic speed, explosive playmaking ability is even more crucial. Kevin Austin looks like, very good chance he'll end up at Notre Dame. But still, they'd like to add another explosive playmaker, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is exactly that.
Yeah, sort of look at it. We're getting to the time of year where we can look at high school football schedules and sort of match dates for potential official visits. If you're looking at the modern day schedule, they play Bishop Gorman week two. That's the same week as Notre Dame's opener against Temple. They're at home against La Mirada the same weekend as the Georgia game here, and then the USC game will obviously be popular. They have a game that weekend too against, I believe, Sarah Catholic. But the Georgia-USC games are night games. It wouldn't be the first California kid that they got on a red eye after one of those games to come out for a night game the next day. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I believe they have a bye week the same weekend as the Miami of Ohio game, which is certainly not going to be a huge recruiting weekend, but we'll see how that shakes out. Certainly he's going to be here for one game, and you would think that it'll probably take an official to Stanford for the Notre Dame game at the end of the year. So maybe he'll end up seeing a couple game day Notre Dame performances. Last guy for me, somebody that I don't think we've really talked about or written about at all, but I'm going to be writing about him in the next couple of days, and that's Sam Vakalahi. and he's an offensive guard, defensive tackle from Salt Lake City, Utah, 6'2", 296, finalist at the opening, and a guy that I'm told Notre Dame has a great shot to get. And that's not something that you automatically assume with kids from Utah. He's got some positional flexibility, which is important. Notre Dame necessarily doesn't need another defensive tackle in this class, considering they have Jason Adamolola and Jamie and Franklin on board. But they certainly need some butt-kicking offensive guards if they can get one. And Vakalahi is going to play guard at the opening finals this summer. There's some interesting connections here. Brian Polian's on the case as far as the recruiting perspective. And Vakalahi's coach at East High School in Salt Lake City is actually a huge Notre Dame fan. And not only that, he came and spoke at the coaches' clinic in March. So there's a little bit of a connection here, and I'm looking forward to writing about this kid in the next couple days. But File Vakalahi is a name that maybe you're not thinking about a whole lot, but somebody that Notre Dame is actually seriously involved with. So he could be a guy down the road that helps them at two positions where they need help at both, and I'll get a chance to see him at the opening finals. So those are the five guys this week. It's been, as you may have noticed, if you're on the internet or Twitter, a pretty active week from Notre Dame's recruiting. We'll be back next week. We'll see if things settle down a little bit. Kind of hard to imagine them being a more tumultuous than they were. But until our next Irish Illustrated Insider Recruiting Extra podcast, I'm Pete Sampson, joined by Kevin Sinclair. Thanks for listening.